Is the Proverbs 31 woman primarily a prescription of how to become a better wife, mother, woman, or friend? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a game we like to play with our listeners where we play four soundbites that we have culled from this week's Issues Etc. audio. They've caught our attention. We hope they catch yours as well. We're going to play them for you. And after you listen, you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you tell us which one you think should be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'd like to know which one you're voting for and why. Be sure to tell us where you're listening as well. That's often helpful. 1-877-623-6943. Soundbite number one this week comes from Ariel Davidson. We were talking to her about a recent study showing a correlation between religious beliefs and higher education achievement. Does research support religion as an obstacle to education?
There are certain qualities which an adolescent gains from being part of a religious community, from regularly practicing religion. And those two qualities are pointed out as being cooperation and conscientiousness. And our school system tends to reward the children who are able to be conscientious and cooperative. And I think society as a whole does as well. And so when you hear parents say, you know, religion is something that's going to be an obstacle for my child's success, I think it's quite the opposite. And I think there's quite a bit of data to show that. And the primary thrust of the paper is examining this very, very apparent achievement gap between across all income levels between avoiders and abiders. And abiders had an average GPA 3.21, while the avoiders had a GPA of 2.92. And what makes her paper, I think, fairly fascinating is the fact that when we talk about achievement gaps, most often we see achievement gaps discussed in the context of, you know, where can we throw more money at this problem? Or how much more government intervention do we need in order to close income achievement gaps? And here, she's exposing that there might be an existing religion achievement gap, which I just thought was fascinating.
That's soundbite number one. Ariel Davidson, does research support religion as an obstacle to education? If you'd like to vote for it, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org. Vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or via Twitter at issuesetc. Soundbite number two comes from Pastor Paul McCain, our ongoing conversation on the Lutheran Confessions. He made this point about confession and the Reformation.
The Reformation began in the confessional booth. That's where everything Luther had discovered came clear for him as a practicing parish pastor, one hearing confession. Do you give people the gospel or do you burden them with law? Is the cross of Christ and the forgiveness of sins one there enough, or must we add to it? Does the church have the power to dispense punishment, or rather, is their power in the dispensing of forgiveness? Everything came clear when it came to the practice of confession and absolution. And of course, the whole system of indulgences was playing off of this convoluted, complicated nonsense, giving people the impression they could now buy forgiveness. They could buy satisfaction before God. They could buy time off in purgatory. No matter how delicately put it was technically on the ground among lay people, the indulgence was viewed as a way to buy forgiveness, completely doing away with the merits of Christ. As Melanchthon's pointed out over and over again, if the Roman Catholic Church is right, there is no point in the cross of Jesus Christ.
That's soundbite number two, Pastor Paul McCain on confession and the Reformation. Vote for it by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Soundbite number three this week comes from Lyman Stone. We're talking with him about some turnarounds in the low birth rates in both Poland and the former Republic, Soviet Republic of Georgia. Here he is with some thoughts on Lutherans and low birth rates.
There's tons of evidence that religious belief can fundamentally impact fertility. Many of us Lutherans are German, or we're Scandinavian, or whatever. You know, ancestrally, we're Northern European, and we have imbibed the nectar of prudence for generations. We've learned the importance of planning, of preparing, of not taking too many risks. And the trouble is that a child is a risk. A child is a dangerous thing to bring into your life because it disrupts your life. And on some level, we have to, as a church body nationally, learn that there are risks worth taking and that some of this cultural Germanness that we've inherited is not biblical stewardship. It is just resistance to the possibility of losing per capita income in the household unit.
That's soundbite number three, Lyman Stone on Lutherans and low birth rates. Vote for that one by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Get ready to vote, because here is soundbite number four. It'll be the last one we play for you before we open the phone lines and start taking your email, your tweets, and go to our Facebook fan page and count your votes there. It's Pastor Chris Roseborough on the danger of enthusiasm in the church.
Churches that buy into these enthusiastic doctrines, they are like cut flowers. They will maintain the color of that they had originally, but over and again, you're going to see that sound doctrine is going to die, just like a cut flower dies and wilts and withers. And so there's a trajectory that they're on, that once you buy into enthusiasm, you've opened yourself up, and I hate to say it this way, but you've opened yourself up to pure doctrines of demons, which Jesus has said exactly in this, God's word says exactly what the end times will be marked by. And so if you're not going to listen to the word of God in the scriptures, and you're going to think that you can hear it with inside of your heart, you've opened yourself up to your sinful nature and to demonic influences. And it literally is just a matter of time before your church or your church body has gone off the rails. And Driscoll just happened to do it for us a lot quicker. You know, he had a cycle that he was on, and one that we can kind of see the trajectory play out in a shorter amount of time. But with church movements or denominations, it might take a little bit longer than this. But the trajectory that they're on is the exact same trajectory he's on.
That's soundbite number four, Pastor Chris Roseborough on the danger of enthusiasm in the church. Those are the four soundbites. We've played them for you. Now it is your turn. You vote. Your vote decides which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Vote by giving us a call, and this break is a great time to call. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Your votes for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, right after the break.
Thursday, never looking back, it's Friday, I'm in love.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This glorious good news is and always has been too good not to share. It compelled Peter, Paul, and the other apostles to the very ends of the earth, and it continues to drive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries even today. Learn more here in the April issue of The Lutheran Witness magazine. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, issues, etc. What does this mean, on our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382, and answer the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.
I know what's wrong, and I'm going to give you the fact. You got to vote. Everybody needs to vote.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It is time to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four soundbites that we've played for you. You have heard them, and now it is your turn to vote. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Will it be soundbite number one on Does Research Support Religion as an Obstacle to Education? Soundbite number two on Confession and the Reformation? Soundbite number three on Lutherans and Low Birth Rates? Or soundbite number four on The Danger of Enthusiasm in the Church? John, which one are you voting for?
Number three.
And why so?
Because I think we have the purest gospel, and we should be living, lack of a better word, with gusto and not so cautiously, as far as, you know, having only the amount of children that we know in advance that we can support financially in the most responsible way. There's a lot of good behind that, but anyway, that's what I think.
All right, John, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Milwaukee. David in Franklin, Tennessee is voting for soundbite number four, I believe. Pastor Chris Roseberry says, because I believe this is a very real danger to the Christian faith, and it can draw conservative Lutherans into the slippery slope. There's a vote for soundbite number two that comes from Steve in Central Point, Oregon. He says, Pastor Paul McCain was the clearest and most concise of them all. That's why he's voting for soundbite number two. James says, all were good. Two, three, four were poignant, but number three struck a huge chord with me because it supports the other three soundbites. If we don't sacrifice and bring into this world children God gives to us, then the gospel gets diluted. Yes, we need missions and our own bringing the lost to the way of salvation. However, that also brings in habits and sins that need to be sanitized over time. Having children God is giving and raising them in the church provides a solid foundation for the future of the body. We've also gone through many things, but we had the greatest responsibility raising 13 children. Wow, James, thank you very much. Emily in Mentor, Ohio says, I felt that Pastor McCain nailed it. It starts with giving the people the gospel. When you come into the confessional, you already know you are a sinner. Jesus preached the gospel of forgiveness to sinners and the law to Pharisees and their ilk, who did not realize that they were sinners. Indulgences undermine grace and the free gift of forgiveness. There's nothing that you can do to get it but ask. You cannot buy or even earn forgiveness for your sins. Emily, thanks for listening in Ohio. Becky listens in Grand Haven, Michigan. All were good, but Lyman's comment on Lutheran birth rates was spot on. It gets my vote. Thanks, Becky. Stephen listens in Morgan Hill, California. Says, I love your program. Such a wide variety of relevant topics. For today's soundbites, I choose soundbite number two, Pastor Paul McCain, on Confession and the Reformation. He says, Pastor McCain's discussion of how the Reformation started in the confessional booth, I think he clearly outlines what Martin Luther was struggling with during confessions in the Catholic Church. I like how Pastor McCain contrasts the practices of the Catholic Church with what Scripture tells us. Martin Luther's concerns of 500 years ago are still valid today. I really like how Pastor McCain breaks it down. Thanks, and God bless you. Thanks to you as well, Stephen. Dalton has a vote. He says, the most important presentation, in my view, was by Paul, focusing on the importance of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. If we would practice what we know, the world would be a better place. Jesus' name needs to be confessed or proclaimed because he is the one who always is ready to forgive the sinner who recognizes his need for the love that Jesus displays. Dalton, thank you very much for your vote. Carrie is voting for soundbite number four, Pastor Chris Roseborough, on the dangers of enthusiasm in the church. Carrie says, we might ask the enthusiast, are you forgiven if you only feel forgiven? Truth can be found in your feelings these days as per our existential culture. Carrie, you're quite right, and thank you very much. Ben listens in Wisconsin. Ben says, I like what Ariel Davidson had to say about how religion impacts education. It goes along with how Pastor Harrison once described the LCMS as a machine for producing good citizens. Even though Ariel herself is Jewish, the concept of classical Judeo-Christian education is good and is still valid. Thank you for your vote there, Ben in Wisconsin. We appreciate it very much. David listens in Franklin, Tennessee. He's voting for soundbite number four, Pastor Chris Rosebro, on the danger of enthusiasm in the church. He says, because I believe this is a very real danger to the Christian faith and draws Lutherans into that slippery slope. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. Joe's voting for soundbite number three, Lyman Stone, on Lutherans and low birth rates. Joe says, because I've often thought, why do people who have the purest gospel behave in such a cautious manner? I've just never heard of any theologian voice the same kind of concern. I'm Joe's dad. We have five children, and it seems like walking a tightrope at times, but we're making it. Joe, thank you very much. Sarah listens in Kenosha, Wisconsin, voting for soundbite number one, Ariel Davidson. Strong supporter of Lutheran education, I've long felt that having children in a Christian environment is more important and having them in a good school. My husband and I were blessed to be able to send our children to a school that was excellent from both a Lutheran and academic perspective. Shout out to Deaconess Fredrickson, she says. It's a heartening to hear that a study from outside can confirm the importance of religion in education, especially at a time when this view is unpopular in American culture. Hoping to tip the scales in my favor, the logo has been washed off my old Issues Etc. travel mug, despite my taking extra care to wash it by hand and not take the easy route of the dishwasher. Well, we'll see what we can do there, Sarah. Jeff is voting for soundbite number one, Ariel Davidson as well. A strong, deep-rooted faith must be taught and nurtured from youth to battle the secular and sinful world. Our children will be tested, mocked, and ridiculed, but must withstand the temptation and avoid the profession and suppression of their faith. Luther wanted a strong liberal arts education, for God created all, and faith cannot be separated from education. Thank you, Jeff, for that vote for soundbite number one. Stephen in Chicago votes for soundbite number two. It's such a great illustration of the difference between most evangelical churches and the confessional Lutheran church. It's the pastor's job to forgive sins. We should partake of the rite as often as possible. Stephen, thanks for listening in Chicago. Frank listens in McHenry, Illinois. My vote is for soundbite number three, Lyman Stone, on Lutherans' low birth rate. Just doesn't exist in Lutheranism. Before we were Lutheran, we had five children. Would have been six, but the Lord has that one. We were chastened by society and the church previously attended for years. You don't have enough income, or how dare you have another child when you have four with one that is handicapped? You don't know the world is overpopulated? Heard it all before, so it's not just Lutheran churches. Take the risk, people are not secular society who seem to want to regulate birth rates. Not being German myself, the point is still the same for the church that restrict or discourage children and life, period. They are a blessing from God. The inconvenience will test your faith, but what a blessing that God allows us. When you see your adult children at the communion rail, enough said. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior or the children of one's youth, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. They are all adults, and we had hard times, but we were always fed and clothed and blessed. Thank you very much for that one there, Frank in McHenry. The winner this week, according to your votes, is soundbite number three. Comes from Lyman Stone, talking about Lutherans and low birth rates.
There is tons of evidence that religious belief can fundamentally impact fertility. Many of us Lutherans are German, or we're Scandinavian, or whatever. You know, ancestrally, we're Northern European, and we have imbibed the nectar of prudence for generations. We've learned the importance of planning, of preparing, of not taking too many risks. And the trouble is that a child is a risk. A child is a dangerous thing to bring into your life because it disrupts your life. And on some level, we have to, as a church body nationally, learn that there are risks worth taking and that some of this cultural Germanness that we've inherited is not biblical stewardship. It is just resistance to the possibility of losing per capita income in the household unit.
That's the winner of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, according to your votes. Stephen in Morgan Hill, California, if you would send us your mailing address and your shirt size. talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll send you the LPR bundle package. And Sarah, since it's worn out already, why don't you send us the same, and we will send you a travel mug for voting for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Have you registered yet for the premier conference for Christian laity? Attendance is limited to 400 for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. It's an opportunity for you to meet and hear Hank Hanegraaff, Hans Feeney, Scott Klusendorf, Angus Manouge, Will Whedon, Craig Parton, and Jonathan Fisk. Registration is $120. That includes three meals. Childcare is absolutely free, courtesy of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. You can learn more and you can register for the conference at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th, 15 miles east of St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's Heidelberg Disputation with Dr. Cameron McKenzie. We'll have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller introduce us to the book of 2 Chronicles, and we'll discuss dating, marriage, and good spouses with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.